Everybody else, turn to Mark chapter 9. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. If not, it'll be up here on the screen. We'll have a couple other verses we'll look at, but Mark chapter 9 is the important. Watch out, Glenn. Hey, them boys ain't no joke. They play football. How'd you do at football yesterday, Clint? How'd football go? Good? All right. John David, how'd football go yesterday? Was it all right? Okay. All right. All right. Make sure he wasn't going to lie to me. All right. We've been talking. Listen, last week I wasn't here, and the reason I wasn't here, we got to go back and preach. I say we. Lindsay can preach. I mean, she does to me all the time, but she didn't preach last week. But we got to go back and attend homecoming services at the church I pastored in Henderson County, and it was one of our favorite places of ministry by far. Just the way God worked there and the way we saw things happen, and it was God that had to kind of drag us there, and it was God that had to drag us away from there. It wasn't anything else. And so I was asked a few months ago if I would do that, and a friend of mine is pastor up there now, a good friend of mine, and so I told him, I said, Jeff, you couldn't have made me more happier than to ask me to come do this. And so I'm glad to be back, but man, we had an awesome time last week too. And thank y'all for letting me go do that. Appreciate it. I asked Brother Bobby Sunday afternoon if I still had a job, and he said he thought so. So here I am this morning. We'll see if I get paid this week. I don't know. We'll find out. But I'm here, and we're glad to be back. We started a few weeks, though, ago, going through the idea of what it means to be a church member. And yes, at the end of this, next week's going to be our last sermon in this series, I think. I am going to encourage you, if you're not a member of a church, to become a member of a church. All right? Yes, that's going to happen next week. So if you've been waiting for that, if you've been waiting for me to beg you or to ask you or to do any of that stuff, it's coming next week, so be ready for it. But even more important than that, yes, even more important than somebody else becoming a member of Cadence Baptist Church are the people that are members here acting like church members in a good, godly, biblical way. And so hopefully the last two weeks that we've talked about this, talking about being a functioning church member, talking about being a unifying church member, hopefully those things have stuck with us in some way. And today we're going to focus on the idea that even though you're a church member, church will not be about you. Church will not be about me. It won't be about any of us individually, because church is about one thing and one thing only, and that's Jesus. And we're going to find out what Jesus had to say about that this morning. Remember, church membership, we've defined it as not about sitting in a pew. It's not about having your name in a book at the church somewhere or a file cabinet at the church somewhere. Church membership has nothing to do with that, about that, but it has everything to do with you working alongside of other Christians to see other people come to know Jesus. That's what church membership is about. And when we talk about church not being about us, we're really talking about selfishness. We're talking about demanding our own way. We're talking about things like that this morning. And when you think about that, probably your first thought goes to little kids. I told Cates I'm going to tell a story about him this morning, and here it is. When Cates was little, and I'm talking like this size Cates, his face was chubbier. He didn't have as long of hair. Well, at one point he did when he was little, but after he was about 3 or so, his hair got cut. We were cheap, so we just buzzed it all the time. So now we're cheap, we just let it grow. But little Cates, when he was sweet as he could be sometimes, but you know how those sweet kids can get. When he didn't get his way, here's how Cates reacted to that, okay? Cates would throw himself around. He would sling himself onto the bed or into a wall or onto the couch, not to hurt himself, but just to throw a fit, all right? I mean, I'm not telling you guys anything that you don't know, right? If you've had kids or grandkids. He would throw himself around. He would take off running. He would make all kinds of crazy noises, that grunting sounds or screaming sounds or whatever, to make it known that he didn't get his way. And then you know what happened after that? He still didn't get his way, because we weren't going to let him have his way. And you think about kids, you guys that are teachers know this, or if you've worked with kids, you know this. It's not just your kid that does that. other kids, you go to school and they get mad because things don't happen the way they wanted, or they didn't get to play the game they wanted, or they didn't use the ball they wanted, or they didn't have the person on the team that they wanted, and they would fight and yell and scream and whine and cry. And there's a reason kids act like that. You mean tell you the secret? I know it. I know the secret. There's a secret and a reason kids act like that. And you're not going to like it. But it's because they see it from adults. It's true. I'm that guy too. I do it. Well, kids just don't act the way they used to. You've said it. I'm 41 years old and I've said it. Some of you are 51 or 61 or 71 or 81 or 91 or more. And you said it too. Kids don't act the way they used to whenever I was growing up. And I had a guy say that to me one time at a church. And that's when it hit me. You know why kids have gotten worse? It's not the kids' fault. It's our fault. They've seen it from us at some point. They've learned that from us at some point. You want to know why they demand their own way? Because they've seen it from us. You want to know why they whine and fight and argue and act like babies? Because they've seen it from us. Do you want to know why younger church members grow up and they act like the older church members they used to see when they were little? Because they saw it. They've seen it. They grow right into it. Well, so-and-so got his way. If I act like a fool, then I can get my way. Well, Miss So-and-so would always be mean to people, so if I'm mean to people, maybe I can change the tide towards that a little bit. Maybe I can have things my way a little bit. Listen, churches are no different than anywhere else in society because we learn what we see, and we teach what happens under us. It happens. It happens all the time. Coaches impact teams. Pastors impact churches. Church members impact churches. Churches impact communities. So if we're going to impact our community for Jesus and we're trying to make church all about us, what are we impacting our community to do? To make it all about them. Not about everybody else. Not about Jesus, for sure. Adults don't get their way, so they quit their job. Adults don't get their way, so they get a divorce. Adults don't get their way, so they leave the church. Look what Jesus said about demanding our own way in Mark 9:35. Setting down, now listen, and when Jesus sat down, he was going to say something really important. This wasn't just walking along the road and him seeing something and going, oh, you know, look at those birds over there. You know, God loves you more than those birds, and if he takes care of those birds, why would he not take care of you? That's a pretty important thing to say. But he didn't sit down to say it. When Jesus sat down in Scripture, he wanted them to hear and not forget. He called the 12 to him and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be last and servant of all. Jesus has a fix for us demanding our own way. Jesus has a remedy for us worrying about our personal preferences and our own desires. You know what the remedy is? Be a servant. Be a servant. The word servant occurs 57 times in the New Testament. The word serve occurs 58 times in the New Testament. So well over 100 times the word servant or serve appear in the New Testament. I would say it's pretty important. Jesus tells us not only to be a servant, to be a servant to all. It says he must be last and a servant to all. Literally, he must be can be translated as let him be. Listen, it's like saying this. Jesus is saying, let him have at it. Let him have at being a servant. That's exactly what he needs to be doing or she needs to be doing. Let him have at it. Let him do it. Let him always be prepared to serve is another way to look at it. Do you know a servant can't pick and choose when they want to serve? We have to always be prepared to serve. We have to always be prepared to take the lowest place. Let him always be ready to serve. Let him always be ready for service to all. We have to always be prepared to serve. I can't pick and choose when I want to be a dad, can I? No. If Slayton comes to me and wants to talk to me about something, I can't say, Slayton, I just don't feel like dadding today, so you're just going to have to wait. I know you're going through something, but I don't feel like dadding today, so I'm not going to dad right now. You just take care of yourself. You're 16. You're fine. You can feed yourself. You can clothe yourself. You can figure this stuff out on your own. I don't feel like doing it today. Y'all would throw me in jail if I did that to my kids. But when it comes to being a servant, we're like, well, I don't really feel like serving today. I want to be about me today. I want to do my own thing today. I need personal time today. And listen, all that stuff's fine. Personal time is okay, and you need personal time sometimes. But even in your personal time, you always have to be ready to serve. You know what that looks like? It looks like this. When you're walking to church on Sunday morning, you're walking in from the parking lot, and you see a piece of paper on the ground. Somebody dropped a bulletin, or somebody threw a gum wrapper on the ground, or a sucker stick or something. You look at it, most of us in here would walk by that and go, I can't believe somebody dropped their sucker wrapper on the ground. And you would walk right in and go to Sunday school or sit in your little comfortable pew, and that's how it would end. And when you walked out, you would look and see if it's still there, see if somebody else picked it up, right? That's what you would look for. But being a servant to all means we're always prepared to serve. That's part of your worship, actually, is how you serve. So always being prepared to serve is walking by there, seeing that wrapper and going, man, that stinks. I wish they wouldn't have done that. And you bring it in, and we've got trash cans everywhere in this church, and you could throw it away. That's what it means. Just be a servant. You see a toilet that's running, and you're like, man, I don't know what's wrong with that. Well, you might not be equipped to do that, but I bet you could find somebody that's equipped to do that. Somebody that maybe could serve in that area. And you go to them and say, hey, I don't know who to go to, but you know, I just want you to know there's a toilet running in here and these, you know, might need to be fixed. I don't know how to fix it, but always be prepared to serve. And if somebody comes to you, be prepared to serve if you can do it. Paul said it was important to be a servant. Look what he says about it in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. He said, I was made a servant of this gospel, the good news of Jesus. He didn't say I was forced or I was dragged into it. He said he was made a servant by the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. He said it's by God's grace he gets to serve. Not that he's forced to serve, not that he has to serve, but he's a servant of the gospel. He's a servant of the good news of Jesus because God allowed him by his grace to be that. He was made a servant of the gospel. And when we're servants of ourself, there's no room to be a servant of the gospel. And when we're a servant of the gospel, there's no room for us to be servants of ourself. When we fail to be servants, we become self-serving. And a self-serving Christian develops into a self-serving church. Now, just because one of you in here might be self-serving, you might feel like you're a Christian, you might be the most selfish Christian in the world, which I don't think that works. I don't think you could be the most selfish Christian in the world. I don't think that happens like that. But if you were, one bad apple is not going to ruin the bunch. But that attitude permeates to the rest of the church. That self-servingness permeates. Well, so-and-so got his way, so I'm going to get my way. She got her way, so I'm going to get my way. And this didn't go my way, so I'm going to fight for it. And we become self-serving, and our church becomes self-serving. Another word for self-serving, especially for a church, is to be inward-focused. A self-serving Christian or a church is an inward-focused Christian or a church. Lifeway has a research department. And Lifeway Research did a survey 5 or 6 years ago about some common characteristics of churches that were inward-focused or self-serving. Here they are. Here's some characteristics. See if you've ever been in a church or seen a church like this. Worship wars. You know what worship wars are? Well, I don't like that new music. Well, I don't like that old music. Well, I don't like drums. Well, I don't like guitars. Well, I don't like pianos. Well, I don't like organs. Well, I don't like using the hymnal. Well, I don't like using the screen. Never heard of that, have you? Worship wars, inward focused. Long meetings about nothing. Bet you've never been to one of those. Facility focused. Now, that doesn't mean we don't take care of our facilities. We ought to take care of our facilities. Facility focused means everything we do, every bit of money we have goes back into the facility, not outside in the world where we could use it for God's glory. Instead of spending $50,000 on reaching our community for Jesus in an outreach fund, we would rather spend $50,000 because these windows have gotten old and we want to replace them. That's facility focused. Program driven is another characteristic. Now, programs aren't bad, but programs in and of themselves don't reach people for Jesus. Here's what program focus means. This is a line we toe sometimes. I'm going to be honest with you. We have really good outreach stuff that goes on. When we do an outreach event, a lot of people come. We did the backpack thing, right? Or not backpacks. We had some backpacks, but we did the school supply giveaway. That's a program. Simple Blessings, that's a program. Vacation Bible School, that's a program. Family Night at the Ballpark, it's a program. Here's how we toe the line on being inward focused. Oh, we're gonna get a bunch of bouncy houses. We're gonna have them there. We're gonna have people here. We're gonna love people while they're here, but I'll never think about it again when they're gone. When that event's over with, I'm never thinking about it again. I don't care about reaching people. I'm not gonna try to go after them. I'm not gonna try to find out if people have a church home. Did you know after Bible school, I remember one person coming up to me and asking about kids who didn't have a church home and wanted to know where some of them lived? David Shore, only person that came up to me. Now, I knew some of them and kept up with them. Nick did that. Lindsay knew some of them. Like, we had people in the church doing it. But other than regular, quote-unquote, ministry people, David Shore, the only person that came up to me after Bible school and wanted to know where some of these kids were from, wanted to know where some of them lived, and has gone out and visited some of those. So if we're inward focused, we do the program, and then we're like, hey, I did my stuff, we're done. If they want to come, they can come later. That's being program focused. That's being inward focused. That's doing enough to get our good feelings because we did something, and then pushing it off and waiting until the next one. We toe that line a whole lot here. We have to be careful with it. Being budget focused on church needs, not outside needs. We put more thought into the budget of bettering the church than we do bettering the community. Unrealistic demands for pastoral care. And I thought about whether I should mention that one or not, but it was in the survey, it was in the research. Unrealistic demands for pastoral care looks like this. I'm going to call Justin 10 times in one day. I'm going to call Nick 5 times in one day because every little thing is important. Every little thing I think of is important enough, I'm going to call him and bug him. I'm going to come see Nick first thing on Sunday morning. I know he's got to teach our youth. I know he might have to do children's church. He's kind of got his mind on other things. Or Justin has kind of got his mind on other things on Sunday morning. Or David kind of has his mind on other things. But I'm going to go to them because what I have to say is more important than that. And I'm going to talk to them about something that I don't like. That's what that looks like, if you didn't know. Attitudes of entitlement. I deserve this. I want this. This is more important. Greater concern about keeping change out of the church than getting the gospel out of the church is another characteristic. Anger in the church, hostility in the church, apathy of the church. All of those are what Lifeway Research found out to be common characteristics of churches that were inward focused or self-serving or demanding of themselves. And they characterize a church focused on itself, and they also characterize Christians that are focused on themselves. So how do we keep from that? How do we keep, if we don't want to be that kind of church, if we don't want to be that kind of people, if you don't want to be a church member that demands your own way, and you want to be a church member that just blends in and works alongside of other people in the church, and does ministry alongside of other people in the church, and does what you can do and does it well. We've talked about that before too. You don't want to focus on your own preferences or desires. How do you do that? Well, Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, look in verse 5. Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. That's how you keep from it. That's how you keep from having your own wants and desires become paramount to everything else. Adopt the attitude of that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our attitude should mimic what Paul says is the attitude of Christ Jesus. Verse 6, he didn't consider equality as something to be grasped or exploited. In other words, he had no position. He didn't say, well, I'm Jesus, so I'm going to do this. He had no position. He didn't say, well, I'm chairman of this committee, or I'm a deacon, or I'm a pastor, or I'm this. He didn't say that. My granddaddy came to this church. He didn't care. Jesus didn't worry about equality with God. He had no position. Verse 7 tells us that he emptied himself. Verse 8 tells us that he humbled himself by taking the role of a servant. Verse 8 also says he became obedient to what God wanted him to do. And why did he do all of that? Why do we do that as a church? As good, biblical, godly church members, why in the world would we want to be like Jesus? Because of verse 10. So at the name of Jesus, not at the name of Justin, every knee is going to bow. Not at the name of anybody else in this room will every knee bow. But at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When we worry more about our own preferences and desires, we're taking the heart of God, the attitude of Jesus, the mind of Christ, whatever you want to call it, we're taking that totally out of every situation when we put ourselves in there. And you know, that's the way salvation starts. That's the way we believe in Jesus, is that we don't consider ourselves equal to God. We empty ourselves. We humble ourselves. We become obedient to Jesus and accept His free gift of forgiveness. Salvation even starts with, it can't be about you. It won't be about you if you want to be saved. There's no way possible it could be about you if you want to follow Jesus. And if you started out that way following Jesus, it can't be about you and you serve Jesus well either. You can't say, well, I'm going to follow Jesus today. I'm going to empty myself. I want Jesus to come and fill me. And then a year down the road go, but you know what? I've got some ideas. You know what? I've got some things I'd like to see happen. And you might, and that's okay. You might have prayed about it, and you might bring it up, and all that stuff's fine. But when we don't get our way, how do we act? But when we don't, when things don't go our way, and it's not an issue of biblical precedence, it's just an issue of my thoughts and my desires and my wants. Somebody asked me one time about the music that we play, about the closing song, actually. And they said that we sing too much on the closing song. Because in some churches, maybe you've been at a church like this, you'll sing a verse or two. If nobody comes down and prays or nobody wants to be saved, the pastor can turn around and give the old head nod, and the music leader will go nod back, and then at the end of that verse, it's done. And that's just, it's just what we're used to in some churches. It's what people expect sometimes. We just have another worship time, and we sing a whole time. And I told this person that. I said, you know, I appreciate that. I know that that's how you realize that things happened, and you know, that's a preference of yours. I said, but there's not anything biblically wrong with that, is there? No, not anything biblically wrong with it. I said, okay, until we have a biblical issue, we're not going to really address that. And the person was fine with it. Never heard another word about it. Maybe they talked behind my back about it. I don't know. But never heard another word about it. And it was fine. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like when you don't get your way. Because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about David. It's not about the music. It's not about the pews. It's not about the temperature. It's not about the lights. It's about Jesus, and it's about His Word. And if we'll cling to that, if we'll cling to that, we'll be a church member who won't make it about us. But to be a church member, or to be a person who doesn't make it about you, you've got to make it about Jesus first. And the first way you make it about Jesus is you realize that you have a sin problem. And it's not anything you could fix because you're a sinner. How can a sinner fix a sin problem? So you need a Savior to fix your sin problem. And Jesus is that Savior. He was perfect, so He can fix your sin problem. And Jesus, if you'll turn your life over to Him, Jesus will forgive you of your sins. He'll give you a brand new heart and a new life. And He'll lead you from this point on. And you'll have a home in all for all eternity with Him in heaven. We sang that song at the end talking about looking for me whenever we get to heaven. There's some people that can't sing that song because they don't believe that. They don't believe the Jesus that they need to believe that. That ought to bother us. That ought to make us not worry about our own preferences. That ought to make us worry about what can we do to reach those people who don't yet know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus yet this morning, you need to know Him. You need to turn your life over to Him. You just need to throw your hands up and say, I'm done. I can't do it anymore, Jesus. I got to have You. I'm not a good person. I'm a decent guy, but I'm not the best. And I mess up. And I need somebody to help me with those mess ups. And Jesus, You're the only one that can help me with it. Come in and save me. That's all you got to ask Him. And you know what He'll do? He'll come in and He'll forgive you. And He'll save you for all eternity. And if you've done that this morning, if you've already done that, maybe your prayer needs to be, Jesus, listen, I'm still not perfect because we're not ever going to be perfect. I'm still not perfect, and I need You to help me know what's worth fighting for and what's not. Help me know the things that are worth You, Jesus. Help me to know the things that are about the Bible and about You, about helping other people know You, Jesus. And help me know the things that are just my personal preferences. And help me distinguish between those two, Jesus. Help me to make it more about You than I do me. Maybe that needs to be your prayer this morning. It needs to be mine. That's my prayer this morning. So where do you land at? Do you need Jesus, or do you need to ask Him to continue to help mold you as you follow Him? That's the question. We're going to have a time of worship here in a moment. You're going to have a chance to respond to that if you'd like to. If you need to come down and talk to me about Jesus, you come down here and do that. I'll share with you exactly what it says in Scripture about giving your life to Him. Exactly what it says. It's not coming from me. It'd be coming straight from God's Word. And if you just need to come down here and pray something out, you do that. That's what this is open for. That's why we have this time at the end, for you to be able to respond and get things right before you walk back out into this world. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We ask that You be with us this morning. I ask that You guide us, that You lead us, that we would follow You. Lord, that we would not make this about us, but that we would make it all about You. Whether we're in a church building or an office building, or a grocery store, or our home. Jesus, we want to make it about You. And then, Lord, I know there's got to be somebody here today that doesn't know You, Jesus. Never given their lives to You. Maybe they even played the church game for a little while, but they never really have turned their lives over to You. They never really made that decision and said, today's the day I'm going to do it. Today's the day I'm going to turn my life over to You, Jesus. I pray today would be that day that they would choose to follow You. And Lord, that You would save them. Lord, You be with us as we sing this closing song. Move in our hearts. And if it means our feet need to move, You move our feet as well. We ask it in Your name.